Quick Take Northwest, regional news for the terminally switched on from Oregon Public Broadcasting. This is OPB Radio's Quick Take Northwest for Thursday, the 2nd of November, 2006. I'm April Baer. Good morning. What could be creepier than finding out that you're living every day underneath a major cancer threat? Imagine waking up one day and someone's digging a uranium mine in the lot next door. On a somewhat less dramatic level, a lot of us in the metro area got a big shock last Sunday, opened up the Oregonian to find a story that says there are rivers of benzene floating above the major traffic arteries. The story notes that would include places like Washington Park and other rec areas. Almost as scary as the benzene's presence is the explanation for why it hasn't been cleaned up. Benzene comes from your car. The EPA regulates benzene, and mostly that's a good thing. But Oregon's problem with benzene is so severe that the federal regs don't really make a dent. And the kicker? EPA will not let the state pass its own tougher regulations. If this story sent a chill right down your spine, Senator Ron Wyden was right there with you. He's been looking into the issue, and he says that later this morning he's going to announce a plan to attack the benzene problem right here at home. I've posted some links for the original story on this in the Oregonian and Senator Wyden's website. Nothing's posted up there right now, but I imagine once the announcement's made, you'll be able to read up there. And of course, stay tuned to OPB later today to hear about it. In other stories we're following, there's some big news coming out of Eugene today. Federal officials have revealed the nation's largest ever investigation into archaeological looting. The case focused on Native American remains and artifacts that were stolen from sites in Oregon. Ann Dornfeld reports.
For more than 3 years, federal authorities have mounted a huge undercover operation to stop archaeological pillaging. Operation Bring 'em Back involved more than 100,000 relics dating back at least 10,000 years. U.S. Attorney Karen Immergut says 13 people have already been quietly convicted.
This case is also about the theft of really the spirit of Native Americans through the theft of human remains. That is something that is so deep to the core of their spirituality that it really hits them in their very heart.
Officials say the investigation is ongoing and now shifts to traffickers and the black market for artifacts. I'm Ann Dornfeld in Eugene.
United Airlines has decided to discontinue its daily direct flights from Central Oregon to Denver. The airline gave no official reason. The service was launched back in June with one round trip every Saturday and Sunday. It was a pretty big deal at the time, Denver being the second eastbound connection from Redmond to a major airline hub. Its discontinuation leaves Redmond with just one eastbound flight, Delta Connections' daily flights to Salt Lake City. For now, those wanting to travel east will have to zigzag, going to Portland first and then back. A Portland City Council candidate who still owes the city $95,000 has turned up again in Montana. Emily Boyles is working as a television reporter there, as Colin Fogarty reports.
Emily Boyles left Portland after the city determined that she broke the rules of Portland's public campaign finance system, using taxpayer money to hire her 16-year-old daughter as a campaign staffer and running a phone line to her home. She owes $95,000 for the public financing she received, plus fines. Boyles says her new job producing a 5-minute daily television newscast for Glendive Broadcasting in eastern Montana pays close to minimum wage. She says she told her new employer all about what happened in Portland.
I certainly haven't just absconded off the face of the earth, and the best thing I can do now is to get myself reestablished so that we can repay that debt, and then I can return to Portland and continue to work for the good of Portland.
Auditor Gary Blackmer says the city is hoping to work out a payment plan with Boyles and is seeking a court order to garnish her wages. Colin Fogarty, OPB News.
Vice President Dick Cheney is on the campaign trail today. He's making good on a promise to come to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in support of Republican candidates for office. About 2,000 free tickets for the event have been handed out. It's happening at the Coeur d'Alene Airport. The Republican who's running for a Senate seat in Washington this year, Mike McGavick, is stepping up his efforts to distance himself from the president. In a new TV ad this week, McGavick says, quoting here, "President Bush isn't getting our frustrations," referring to the situation in Iraq. The ad follows recent comments by McGavick in which he said he would have voted against the invasion of Iraq if he had known that there were no weapons of mass destruction. That is, if he'd been in office in the first place. McGavick is also urging the president to fire Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
McGavick's opponent is the incumbent senator, Democrat Maria Cantwell. A spokeswoman for the Cantwell campaign notes that Cantwell has consistently called for a change of course in Iraq. Polls have been indicating that more than 60% of residents of Washington disapprove of Mr. Bush's handling of the war. Opponents of Measure 43 in Oregon say that the campaign's supporters are running misleading and erroneous ads. Measure 43 would require doctors to notify a minor's parents before performing an abortion, except in the case of a medical emergency or with the state's permission. Here's Christian Fodenwenzel with more.
In an ad that appeared in the Oregonian last week, the Yes on 43 campaign cites two quotes from the paper. The first claims abortion is the only surgery performed on a minor in Oregon that doesn't require parental consent. The second says Measure 43's judicial bypass mechanism will make sure charges of rape and incest are reported. State Representative Jeff Barker says both quotes are misleading.
Your son Alan could go out and have a sex change and come home as Alice without parental consent in Oregon. The other thing, they're saying that without this law, crimes against children wouldn't be reported, and that's not true because I'm a former police officer. I was required to report abuse or even suspected abuse, and there's absolutely nothing in Measure 43 that will change that or enhance that.
Sarah Nashif, a spokeswoman for Yes on 43, says the first quote about parental consent being required for any surgery other than abortion is simply an opinion. She also believes a judge's scrutiny would increase the chances of rape or incest being reported. Christian Fodenwenzel, OPB News.
Today, Oregon's health officials begin a two-day drill to test readiness to handle an influenza pandemic. It's going on in several different regions at once. In Portland, Legacy Emmanuel Hospital will be importing some high school students to pretend to be flu patients. They'll set up tents outside the hospital to take care of the pretend overflow. In Central Oregon, school districts in Deschutes, Jefferson, and Crook counties will report all their attendance figures to the county health departments, as they would in case of a major flu outbreak. The exercise involves dozens of county health departments and hospitals, and even some businesses. A national medical study that was supposed to begin in the Portland-Vancouver metro area yesterday has been delayed. You might remember we told you about this one a few weeks ago. Researchers at OHSU are trying to find out if using a stronger saline solution will help increase the blood pressure of severe trauma victims. They're still waiting for the go-ahead from the Food and Drug Administration. The FDA wants more information about monitoring procedures once these trauma patients have been admitted to a hospital. The study's already started at a number of cities across the nation. The delay affects the Portland study and a few other sites. The research is unusual because the victims of severe trauma usually can't give consent on whether they'd like to take part. But the government's allowing the study to go ahead anyway, assuming these conditions are met. People can opt out of the study by calling OHSU and getting a special medical bracelet that would alert EMT technicians. There was a terrible wreck yesterday on Highway 97 just south of Bend. A pair of semi-trucks collided head-on. Two people were killed. Their names haven't been released yet because officials are still trying to notify their families. The cause of the crash and the huge fire that came from it are still under investigation. In an unrelated accident, a third person died in another crash on 97 yesterday, just north of Bend. Not too many details available on that right now. Insurance agents in the Inland Northwest say they're seeing a growing number of claims resulting from cars hitting deer. Correspondent Elizabeth Wynn Johnson has more on that one.
This is the time of year when herds of deer and other large animals migrate across northwest terrain. Idaho Fish and Game spokesman Phil Cooper says deer collisions are up 30% in the last 5 years. Why? He points to urban creep that's transforming swaths of formerly open land.
People are building their homes out in those places with their five-acre pieces of ground, and so there is more traffic that's taking place in some of those rural areas. But I would also say that one of the real significant problems is that as those subdivisions are built, there's no opportunity for those animals to be hunted, and we have deer that are being hit right on city streets now.
Cooper says public awareness efforts are ongoing, but they can't do much to help the growing number of drivers who round a corner and find themselves bearing down fast on a large animal, except tell them to slow down. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reporting.
Here's a little cautionary tale from the Seattle area. Do not take your Wi-Fi service for granted. Wi-Fi users on Washington State ferries will soon have to pay for their services. The connections have been free since early last year. They were part of a federally funded pilot study. But by late November of this year, Wi-Fi is going to cost $29.95 a month, $6.95 a day, and $2.95 for 15 minutes if you're riding the routes between Edmonds Kingston and Seattle Bainbridge. The Portland Trailblazers got their regular season play off to a positive start last night with a 110-106 win over the Seattle Supersonics. The team was actually trailing until relatively late in the game. For scoring, Zach Randolph was leading the Blazers with 30 points. Portland native Ime Udoka played a key role in the win, hitting two free throws after rebounding on Travis Outlaw's missed free throw late in the game. One of Portland's rookie prospects, Randon Roy, had a good night. He scored 20 points on 10-for-16 shooting while running most of Portland's offense in the second half. Today's weather forecast is a bit of a mess for many parts of the region. There's a freezing rain advisory in effect until about 10 o'clock this morning for the Cascades. Many other high places are reporting slick conditions as well. Most of it is probably going to melt down as the temperatures warm up today, but let's start with Western Oregon. The freezing rain in the Cascades will be replaced with snow later on, starting around 7,000 feet on Mount St. Helens at around 8,000 feet elevation on Mount Hood. For the rest of the valley, slick conditions for the morning and plain old rain for the rest of the day. Temperatures between 50 and 55 for the coast and valley regions. In central Oregon, we start the day with light freezing rain in the morning, turning to all rain in the afternoon. There is some snow possible today in northern Wheeler County and southern Gillam County above 3,500 feet. In the eastern gorge, we may see a little morning snow above the 1,000 to 1,500-foot mark in areas approaching the Blue Mountains, but it's just a chance of rain for most of the rest of the day, with temperatures in the 40s. Farther east, light freezing rain just about everywhere this morning, with a dusting of snow possible in Baker and Malheur counties, snowfall in LeGrand above 2,000 feet today, and in the John Day Highlands above 5,000 feet, probably no more than an inch or two accumulation. For other parts of the east, rain likely all day, with highs from the mid-40s to the lower 50s. Today's featured music is another lush, mysterious track of Russian music from the Northwest Ensemble Capella Romana. Isn't it just gorgeous? This music just makes me want to find a quiet corner, pull up my hood, and ponder for a while. Capella Romana is going to be performing Tchaikovsky's Divine Liturgy and works from the Slavic tradition this weekend. I've got information on the shows on today's Quick Take page. Going completely the other direction, this evening in Portland, Joan Jett plays the Roseland with the Eagles of Death Metal. And in Bend, the Jamaican dancehall reggae star Anthony B is playing the Domino Room. Bend's literary scene lights up today as The Nature of Words begins, the biggest annual literary event in town. There's a big book event happening in Portland, too. Stephen King delivers an address tonight for Literary Arts. If you're itching to pop down by First Thursday, there are a couple of interesting openings. Pica artist-in-residence Victor Popovic opens an installation at the Portland Arts Center. And Caldera, the nonprofit organization that does a wonderful program for kids in Central Oregon, will debut Seeing is Believing, an exhibition of photography and digital filmmaking by students. This is definitely not your run-of-the-mill kid art exhibit. Look for it in the lobby of the Wieden & Kennedy building. Links for all these events can be found online on today's Quick Take page. To find it, just go over to opb.org and click Radio.